Are you trying to find the perfect distribution platform to get your music on Spotify and Apple? I personally use and love DistroKid. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/DistroKid to get a small discount and get access to a platform with unlimited uploads for a yearly fee. Happy uploading and enjoy the show.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One, two, three.
Hello, thank you for listening to Mixing Music. I'm your host, DK. Today is going to be an awesome episode. I'm going to talk about my experiences at Mix with the Masters with Leslie Brathwaite in France. So I spent a week with him there and a couple days afterwards where we just, oh my goodness, had so much to learn. I was there with 14 people, including myself, participants, and that was such a dope experience. So many people have asked me about that and kind of what I learned that I wanted to dedicate an entire episode to it. This might be something that might have to be divided into multiple parts, and information will slowly come out over the next few episodes and over the entire podcast. I want to say this right now. Mix with the Masters with Leslie has been one of the biggest game changers to my mixing career, as well, the bigger than anything else, more than technique, more than anything else, was mindset, as well as kind of figuring out where I lie personally. And there's a lot of value in that. And I'll explain that a little bit later. One of the biggest things that Leslie teaches, I think, really well, that you don't get at all. Like, I'm not saying like a little bit, you get a little, like, you don't get it at almost at all. Like, I have a hard time. In our industry, you get clout as an engineer by most of the time, a lot of times, by being really technical, by knowing your stuff. And by, obviously, with your credit list and stuff like that. But among other engineers, like, you get a lot of credit just by knowing stuff and being technical. And Leslie is super anti-technical in the sense that, yo, like, you need to just remember the vibe of the song. Like, it's music is all about the vibe. Like, the feel of the music is what's important. And he always says, like, people ask me, like, what were your settings on this plugin? He's like, I don't know, because that's not what I'm paying attention to. I'm just, like, twisting knobs until it sounds good. Like, that's what he says. Like, that's a quote from him. And his personality, his lifestyle, like, everything about that, seeing that in person was, I think, the biggest benefit, more than just techniques. He's a super minimalist when it comes to techniques. Like, another thing that I just love, like, that proves the fact that it's not about technicality, like, I mean, obviously, he has very good ears, and his feel is very spot on of the way a feel of a song should be. But that's what he's focused on. He's not focused on, oh, these are my plugins on and this setting. Like, he doesn't, like, he has settings, but he's not focused on that. That's not what it's about. It's about what do they do, and how do they make the user feel. if I had to explain in my own words what I took away the most out of this, it would be the fact that I remembered that mixing is about connecting the artist, enhancing the emotional connection between the artist and the audience. Like, that's all it is. I said that before in previous episodes. Like, I just want to reemphasize this. This is like a thought, a conclusion that I came to after hearing what Leslie was speaking over at Mix with the Masters in France, Studio La Fabrique. Very beautiful studio, very awesome company, very awesome people. And I just wanted to share a couple of things that are in my notebook, and I just took crazy notes that I think would be great for you to listen to. One of the things that he talked about is his switch to going totally in the box, and how much he doesn't regret it, and how much, even if he was getting paid for it, would like never use analog voluntarily. Like, he's just like, it takes too much time. It's not worth it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a really a big deal. And we didn't talk about gear, 'cause again, that's not his vibe. Like, he's not about gear. He's about just getting stuff done. And, it's so awesome. Like, he just kind of, again, he emphasized the fact that like what we do is like mostly just working with people. There was a whole like day where we just talked about like setting up dialogue, setting expectations with clients, and like, yo, like finding out who's in charge, talking to them, like developing a language, like listening and appreciating their rough mix and basing your mix off of their rough mix just out of like respect. And because they were going for a vibe, so you want to match that vibe. You don't want to change the vibe. I mean, that's bad for both parties, right? So you're just talking stuff like that. It was so funny because a lot of people give trash on headphones. And he even talked about, so we had some one-on-one time with him where we shared with him our mixes. Out of the 14 of us, there were two people where he said, yeah, this is done. There's not much that I would do. This is it. I was blessed to be one of those two people. And the other guy mixed on headphones. Like, it was on headphones. Like, the dude, and it was a dope song. It was this French dude that's like local or a couple hours away from the studio. And it was like reggae hip hop type stuff. And the song was totally dope. And, he mixed it on headphones. And on top of that, his client didn't like his mix. Partially because he's been doing live music for 20 years. Like, he mixes live music. And this was like one of the few times that he actually mixed like for studio work. And his client, his artist that he was working with, like, didn't trust him based on the fact of clout. Like, not anything, like, it sounded great and he probably knew it. And Leslie ended up calling him and saying, like, in person, like, yo, sounds dope. Like, this is amazing. Like, yo, I've won Grammys. I'm just out to tell you, like, this sounds great. Like, this is an amazing record. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And kind of just realized, like, oh, it's all in his head, right? But, dude, the fact that, like, he makes it on headphones, it just blows my mind. That's so awesome. I don't know. Like, that whole week is just, there's so much things I could talk about. Again, I'm going to be totally scatterbrained. I made a list, towards the end of the week, I made a list of things that, so I'm from Utah, currently based in Utah. And because I am not in a big city, one of the big major music cities, and as you've probably heard, I'm trying to move to a big major music city in the next year. But one of the things that I've learned that his mindset is that's different from everybody's mindset from a non-music city. Now, music cities will have different mindset from what's traditional from where I'm from. But one of the big things is what I've noticed in Utah is that the only way to build clout is to be super technical, right? So that's one of the things that we talked about. One of the things that he talks about that nobody else talks about, I've seen a lot of mix engineers from where I'm from, and you might be one of this too. I used to be this guy, is once you get a mix, you throw the faders down to zero, or you throw them to Unity and like you start over basically. And he said, no, like, don't do that. Respect the writer's original thoughts. Like, follow the rough mix. You shouldn't change a whole bunch of stuff, like, because they had a vibe going when they were producing it. And when they were recording it, like, they had a vibe, like, that's the job of the recording engineer. It's like, you're almost partially producing it because you're trying to get a vibe that the artist is feeling, right? Great. That's like the number one thing on my list right here. And number two, it's like, he's not ultra super precise or technical. He has great ears, and I don't want to take away from that. He doesn't really use hotkeys, I noticed. Like he loves to use his mouse. And honestly, like, he's not super efficient. I don't want to say he's inefficient, but again, like, it's kind of goes to show the fact that, like, yo, you don't really need to know Pro Tools or you know your software. You just, like, again, it's all about the vibe. It's not about technicality. He hates gear. He's like, F analog. I would never use analog. he said, I would... And this is different. Some people use Genelex and Barefoots and do a really good job. But he said, I would rather jump off a bridge before using Genelex, which I think is hilarious because people in Utah love Genelex and Barefoots. And then one of the other things is one of my best friends that I made coming out of that seminar, he showed him his mix and he's like, hey, you use Barefoots, didn't you? And he's like, yeah, how can you tell? And he's like, yeah, I could tell you're overcompensating like the Barefoot users do. And it was kind of funny because, like, people get so caught up in, like, really nice Jennies and, like, really nice Barefoots, and he's just, like, calling him out, and it's just like, yo, it's not about that. The guy's, oh my gosh, just so awesome. He only uses, like, 12 plugins total. Yes, that includes, like, reverbs, and that includes all compression, EQ, everything. Like, he only uses, like, 8 to 12 plugins, and, like, as far as, like, a variety, like, over all of his sessions, he probably has about 12 plugins total, like maybe with a few random ones here and there, but like in a typical session he also has a lot of tracks where there's no plugins at all, and he uses like super minimal plugins per track. So the only track that he actually uses a lot of plugins and like spends time on is the vocal track, right? But in general, he like skips over. He's like, oh, there's like, because we were listening to a track and there was like some weird ringing coming out of like the tambourine or like an acoustic guitar or something like that, and he's like, I hear it, I acknowledge it, but it's kind of adding a vibe. And he just ignored it. And everybody else is like, oh, that kind of hurts. And he's like, and then he like unsoloed it. And like after everything else was mixed through, I was like, you know what? That actually does kind of sound like add a vibe. That kind of sounds like a bell in the back. I don't know. Like maybe I'm giving him too much credit on that one. But like really, like he just like, yeah, like this is what they intended. Like if it was that bad, like they would have taken it out, you know? So that was like a Pharrell track that we worked on. And there's also like talking in the background of like the backing vocals, and he just like left it and is like, well, first off, I know that Pharrell and I, we've had that dialogue where he just kind of likes that raw sound, but also the fact that like he left it in there. So obviously like he didn't want it taken out, but he does take stuff out like that when he feels like they need to be taken out. The next bullet point I want to talk about, he said, don't overcomplicate it. Get it right the first time. Like, if you're overthinking, like, that's not good for you and that's not good for the client. Like, you know, you can usually figure out the feel of a track within the first hour, if that, and you can kind of get the framework done pretty quick. And you shouldn't be taking a lot of time on it. You start to self-doubt. It's not mentally healthy. I'll use that word. It's not mentally healthy to remain on a track for a long time. You just kind of gotta like do it really well and do it well, like, and finish it. Like, you gotta realize, and if you're gonna come back to it, take a break first, right? He doesn't use a lot of busing. Like, he's super fast. Like, he doesn't, okay, this is gonna blow your mind. This is gonna blow your mind. He doesn't use any bus compression or EQ, like, at all. Like, none. Zero. Nada. Like, nothing. Yeah, I'm telling you, like, he doesn't. And that's just his vibe. He's like, well, I can make it sound right without having to do that on a master aux or anything like that. He doesn't really use saturation. And the big question that we all want to ask him, right? Even I wanted to ask him. I did ask him. I said, hey, what's your advice on balancing the low end with like the bass and the kick? And he's like, just turn it up. He's like, if you want more kick, just turn it up. And that was his answer. Like, a lot of these things, it's not EQ. It's just taking that volume knob and turning it up. Like, turn up that fader. Like, that's it. Like, that was his advice, which I just love. And again, he just said, like, hey, most of these stuff don't have to be fixed by compression or EQ. Sometimes, in fact, a lot of the times, 90% of the problem goes away just by turning down or turning up a track. And that is just so dope. And one thing that I really do want to talk about is during this one-on-one time, he also didn't get super technical as far as feedback. And I did have an entire episode about giving and receiving feedback. I believe that was episode 3. And we talked, and the way that he gave feedback, the way that he was kind of analyzing everyone's sessions, it was just so professional. It was exactly what I was talking about in episode 3. And he wasn't caught up in the technical details. Like, he realized that everybody was going for a vibe, and he acknowledged that vibe, and he's like, wow, you did this on purpose. Like, it sounds great. And he would take the time to listen to the song from zero to the end, all the way through, with his eyes closed. No, he didn't say a single word. He was just listening to it, and he was just bobbing his head, and he was just feeling the music. He wasn't even looking at the screen, wasn't looking at the console, wasn't seeing what the faders were doing, nothing. Like, the meters were doing nothing. Like, he wasn't doing anything. He showed appreciation for the music by listening to it all the way through without interruption. And I personally learned a lot from that. Like, I have since then done that with my clients, where if a client gives me a rough mix, I won't give feedback. I'll just, like, listen. I'll be like, and I'll vibe with it, and I'll show them that I'm vibing with it, and I'll take the time to listen to the entire rough mix without saying a single word, and then at the end of it say, this is a dope song, and comment on the music. Like, this is great. Like, what you're doing, what you're communicating, I really love it. Don't say this, but obviously there's most of the time I'm like, okay, I'm about to make this dope. Like, I'm about to make this better, right? But that was one of the things. Like, he just really made each of us feel appreciated. Like, our mixes, like, he made us feel like they were good. He is also super, like, super abundance mentality. Just a little bit about that. You should just Google it, abundance mentality, and look it up if you don't. But I'll just kind of summarize it real fast. There's the scarcity mentality and the abundance mentality, where, like, people with the scarcity mentality will think, like, ooh, I gotta, like, steal from people. I gotta lie. Like, there's not enough work to go around, so I gotta steal them from other people. I have to be kind of cunning and kind of be sly and not really trustworthy. They don't really do well. And there's also lower forms of it where it's not lying and it's not cheating, but when there's no one else looking, he'll, like, go out of his way to do a project that he knows someone else would do. I don't know, stuff like that. I don't know. You could decide what that means within our realm. And then he's totally the opposite. He's like super abundance mentality. There's enough work to go around. I'm like just throwing stuff into the world. Like, I don't ask people for work. Like, I never have. I don't really believe in asking people for work, is what he would say. And he's just like, there, people will come. Like, if I continue to do a good job, things will happen. Like, the one thing that he does is, like, I say, I want to mix this person's album. And he'll just, like, say that and throw it out into the world. And, like, yeah, like, if I'm doing a good job, like, that'll happen. And he's, like, talks about, yeah, that, a lot of that stuff comes back. He's just super, super, super genuine. Very patient. Very high, like, morals. Like, he's a family man. Like, he's very outgoing. He's very passionate. He's, like, totally fun to be around. Again, emphasizing the fact that what we do is, like, 90%, 95% people skills, right? He never complains. I never heard him talk bad about anybody, like, on, like, a realistic level. Like, we heard some bad examples, but those are not, he wasn't talking bad. He was talking about bad examples, right? And then overall, like, his entire mindset over technicality, like, his vibe over technical stuff is just, again, I wrote that again. One of the other things that he said was about respecting the culture of the genre. Now, this is an interesting topic because respecting the genre of EDM is totally different from respecting the genre of pop or hip hop or rock. If you listen to a Foo Fighters track, which I did the other day, just to kind of reference to something that I was doing, I was so impressed with how little low end everything is, and how, like, how much, like, high mids, like, everything is super mid-range. Like, the kick drum and the bass was not coming through my subwoofer at all. Like, it was, like, I was impressed how little, like, range of frequencies there was in that track. But people obviously like it. You know, that's a vibe people are going for, so I'm not going to say anything about it, but you got to respect that culture. Like, that's the culture of rock music. You got to respect that culture, you know? With hip hop, you got to respect the culture of hip hop. It's supposed to be dirty. Like, you can't judge a culture based on other genres' expectations. I mean, yeah, like, you kind of have to do that because pop music now, like, it's hip hop. Like, it's not pop. Like, pop 20 years ago is totally something different from now. Even pop 10 years ago, 5 years ago is something totally different than what pop is now. But even then, like, you got to still respect the culture. Like, hip hop is supposed to be kind of dirty and loose and fun, and I don't know. Like, it's supposed to be super lots of bass. That's, like, the point of hip hop. And lastly, the last thing that I wrote is, oh, actually, there's two more things. The second to last thing that I wrote is never setting rules. There are no rules, and he emphasized this a lot. A lot. There are no rules, and there's no right way to do anything, and there's no wrong way to do anything. And it always goes back to what I said first, is it's all about the vibe. If someone tells you you need to put a bus compressor on the master bus, well, what you should do is try it. Does it sound good? If you can't tell a difference, then you probably don't need it. Why would you put it on if you can't tell a difference? Just because someone told you to? There are no rules. There are absolutely no rules. And you shouldn't feel like they told me not to put a big saturator at the end on the master chain. Like, if that's the vibe of your track, then go for it. I mean, obviously, some people will appreciate that vibe a little bit differently, and some people might not appreciate it at all. But I mean, like, if that's what the artists want, if that's what you want in your music, like, who gives a crap about what other people think? There are no rules. What we do is creative. The last thing that I want to talk about, that I think I can do an entire episode about this and just this, is the feel and the understanding the feel and the vibe that a song should have. That skill takes time and experience. So now that we've talked about vibe and feel of a song, like getting to that point where you know the vibe and what it should be and the feel, like that takes time and experience. You can't negate experience. You have to be patient and you have to stay focused and you have to, you know, do bad mixes before you can start doing good ones. Again, this, I'm going to repeat back to some older information that I said, but you got to keep that feedback loop. You got to do reference tracks. You got to listen to music. Like, that's part of your job as a mixing engineer. You should be listening to music, like even outside the studio, just to know what things sound like and what kind of sounds people are making. But all this stuff, it takes time. Andrew Shep said this in one of his YouTube videos. He said, "I can teach you the EQ and how I EQ a snare, but I can never teach you how a good snare sounds. What a good snare sounds like. Like, you have to learn that on your own." And I really believe that we all need to be patient, especially if you're young listening to this podcast. You have a lot of time and you have a lot of opportunities to learn and to grow, and you just need to keep going. It kind of goes back to motivation in episode 6, the last episode. You just need to figure out your balance and realize that experience, skill takes time and experience. If people are talking trash about you, you got to brush it off and keep going and realize you can only go up from here, with occasional dips for certain mixes. I have like a streak of great mixes, and every once in a while it happens a lot less now. And when I listen back to those mixes that I feel like I didn't do as well as, I listen back and it's like, actually sounds great. but there's times when you just got to realize that you got to be patient, you know? So stay mentally healthy, realize you're doing what you love, be humble. Gratitude. Be grateful for the opportunities given to you. If your parents, no matter how much you hate your parents, if your parents are letting you do music, if you're young, obviously if you're younger than 18 and your parents are letting you do music, and they even potentially, if they even invest in gear, which they have, you do not deserve anything, by the way. Nobody deserves anything. Like, nobody is born deserving anything, right? But if you earned the right and the privilege to have your parents get something for you, or if you bought it yourself, whatever it is, and your parents allow you, you should be thanking them. There should be gratitude. Gratitude is everything. And Leslie was a super grateful guy. He was really proud of the fact that he knows what he's doing. He's worked with great artists. But in the end, he was very humble, and he was very realistic. He was very down to earth and very grateful. We all taught him something, and we all learned from him. He acknowledged every single time that he learned something from us, and we acknowledge every single time we learned something from him. It was such an incredible experience. I want to wrap up the episode, but that time in France was so much of an impact on my mindset now and today that I will be referencing back to this so many times. Like, Leslie is the man. You should go follow him on Instagram at LesterBud. Like, the dude is just, dude, the guy is so amazing. Like, and on top of all this, like, he does rap in Atlanta, and he's a family man. And he's thinking about his family. Like, I don't know. There's just so much to respect about him. He's genuine. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. Like, he's just a super respectable guy that he knows what he believes in, and he knows where his values are, and, like, where, what his standards are. Like, he's just really dope. Like, I cannot say enough good stuff about him. I'm hoping in the future, once we have a few more listeners, that we get some sort of an interview where he gets to teach you this stuff from his mouth, right? And I'm really hoping that we can do that. Anyway, that wraps it up for this episode. Thank you so much. Remember to, if you have any questions or suggestions on topics, hit me up on Instagram, DM me at DEEKEIMixes, or email me at DKMixes@gmail.com. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
This episode of Mixing Music with DK has been brought to you by LaunchPod Media. If you want to start a podcast, make sure to start it right with LaunchPod Media. Yo, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music podcast. I just want to do a quick plug about Antares and Auto-Tune. Antares makes the original industry standard Auto-Tune that we all know and love the sound of. We are sponsored by them, so if you visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/Auto-Tune, we do get a small kickback from every purchase. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Please enjoy this episode.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.